All right, welcome into the Maggie and Perloff Show. I'm Andrew Perloff here in New York. Maggie's in the home studio, and Maggie, I think Florida State wish they had stayed in Tallahassee in their home studio because Dublin, Ireland did not go well. My ACC champion, Florida State, already loses. Maggie, talk me off the ledge here. Are the Seminoles just playing possum and they are going to win the ACC despite what happened in Ireland on Saturday?
I was surprised. I was so surprised that FSU, they got dominated in the trenches. They were totally pushed off. They couldn't tackle. You know, this was supposed to be a defense, Pearl, that despite losing some really high-profile talent, was also supposed to be very good, a good defensive line. And Georgia Tech absolutely sliced them and diced them. So, no, you should be very concerned about Florida State because also, next week, they go to play Boston College. Do you know who Boston College's head coach is these days?
Yes.
It's Bill O'Brien, NFL coach and Penn State head coach.
That gives me confidence, actually. But,
oh, okay. Yeah. We'll talk about Bill another time.
You meant that as a good chance for Florida State to bounce back. But go ahead.
You know, they're going to have to come with a lot more juice. And we can talk about the offense as well. I thought the defense was the biggest disappointment. But the offense was totally stagnant, constipated. This was not the, you know... This is unfortunately a DJU game that we've come to understand and know. He's at almost 50 college starts, so it's not getting any better. And let's put DJU aside, though. Let's talk about the program as a whole. I like the idea that they're not out of it because of the college football playoff and 12 teams. But you have left yourself no margin for error. Do we really think the ACC is getting at-large bids?
No, I don't.
Yeah, right. So these at-large bids are most... Look it, we've been with this college football committee now for a while. And what's one thing we all know about them? They very, very much favor the SEC and the Big Ten. And the top teams in those conferences always get the benefit of the doubt or whatever. And the ACC, they went undefeated last year.
I think we might have lost you there for a second, Maggie. But, hey, Ryan, are we hearing Maggie? Okay. So, by the way, I was going to jump in there and say I disagree. SEC rightfully gets more teams in because they are way better conference. And you saw it on Saturday because Mike Norvell, this great play caller for Florida State, lost his mind in Ireland. That game is 100% on him. It's not on DJU. You knew what DJU was. Dude, your running game was not working in any shape or form, and you are handing off for -3 losses. You know, how do you average 3.2 yards per carry in a college football game, Maggie? It's college football, and then you let Georgia Tech run for over 5, and you can talk about DJU all you want. I mean, that was obviously, to me, a game that was lost in the trenches. Florida State's sort of revamped offensive line that didn't even know what the play call was. They were all over the place on every run play. And their defensive line, which is supposed to be good, got their butt kicked. So I was really frustrated with Florida State. My issue also with play calling, DJU, yes, of course he did not look good. But what at the end, we saw these two great throws on fourth downs. I'm like, make the whole game plan out of those plays. Make the whole plane out of the black box, as the joke goes. Like, why weren't they calling those plays the whole time? I didn't understand it. So, Ryan, do we have Mac? No. Oh, okay. Actually, we have EJ on the line here. I don't see EJ. We're dealing with a few technical issues. I'm not going to lie. The lighting, if you're watching on YouTube, Infinity Sports Radio Network YouTube channel, is interesting. Maggie's in the home studio. EJ's in the home studio. Ryan Botcher's going solo on the other side of the glass. And still, we all know more than Mike Norvell about how to play call when you're going against Georgia Tech. EJ, what did you think of the loss by Florida State?
I don't want to hear anything more about Florida State and national championships and college football playoffs, okay? Like, to me, I think that was my biggest takeaway was this a program. We can talk about last year being last year, but this is a program who spent pretty much the entire offseason complaining, whining, getting lawsuits involved. They got everybody involved with the situation, talking about how they were snubbed, that they were one of the top four teams last year. If you're going to tell me you're that kind of program, you cannot get blown out by Georgia in the bowl game, and then get blown out by the other Georgia school, or not blown out, but lose to the other Georgia school that's a basketball school, okay? Like, I think to me that was the biggest takeaway for me was this was a program that had not been focused for the better part of 7-8 months, and I think it showed in that first game in Ireland. They came out, hit them hard in the first drive, and then that was pretty much the rest of the offensive output for the rest of the game. So, I mean, to me, that was a disappointing thing, considering you had Florida State talking about how the ACC was their biggest hurdle in getting to the college football playoff. They can't beat a mediocre team in the ACC. So, to me, that was one of the biggest takeaways.
EJ, what does last year's team have to do with this year's team? I don't understand the connection. That was a totally different team last year.
Well, the whole Florida State fan base and the team and the coaching staff made this year about last year. All they did all offseason was talk about last year. So
right.
If you're gonna make it about last year, then when you step on the field next time you get on the field, I don't want to see you guys losing to a Georgia Tech team that, again, was projected to probably win 7, maybe 8 games this year. This was not supposed to be a team that's supposed to be competing for an ACC championship, but now people believe that because they went out there and they punched Florida State in the mouth.
Yeah, but I don't understand. Explain to me, like, so what? It's a totally new team. All the guys who went undefeated are gone. They're all in the NFL.
It's not all the guys. No. There are
plenty
of guys. They
had 10 draft picks, dude.
Right.
And they have 15 starters. Like, they're all gone.
Well, hello. There's 22 guys on the football.
That's 7 left. What are you talking about?
Right. So there are guys on last year's team. The reason why they had their ranking this year was because there were guys on this year's team that they thought would help from last year's team, rather, would help for this year. So it wasn't like this was a team that totally lost everybody. And at the end of the day, they brought in DJ Uiagalelei. They thought that he was the kind of player that would keep the thing going, keep them in playoff contention. They brought in a seasoned veteran, and then they go out there and they lay an egg. So to me, again, a lot of folks are going to look at this program, we're talking about the program as a whole, and say, why were you the guys complaining about ACC, we got to get out of here, we got to get a lawsuit? Like, they were doing a lot of talking and a lot of stuff about things that had nothing to do with Georgia Tech. So it's not a surprise to me that the team that was complaining about national championships and college football playoffs last year lost their first game of the season.
Maggie, talk some sense into it.
I think that this was, honestly, there was so much more on this game in Ireland for Florida State than there was for Georgia Tech. Not just the fact that Florida State was the favorite and they're going in with the 10th ranking, the preseason rankings being in the top 10. They had everything to prove because they got snubbed for the college football playoff. They got blown out in the bowl game. And I think things have been steadily trending, in a weird way, trending down for Florida State, despite the fact that they had an undefeated season last year. That would should be the apex for the last, you know, basically since Jimbo Fisher left and won a national title there. And so the fact is that this was compounded as a bad loss. I do get what EJ's saying here. As far as the program is concerned, I think it's compounded as a bad loss because they were so adamant that they were snubbed last year with Perloff. I know you agree. So that's when you have to come out and make the statement that last year wasn't the anomaly. We're now building the program. And yeah, we lost 10 guys to the draft, but so did Michigan, and so did Oregon, and so did Alabama, and so did Georgia. And these are all teams that are still ranked in the top 10, and that's who we want to be in the conversation with. And then they went out and lost. Now, can they get it back? Yeah, they can get it back, but I don't know if DJU is a good enough quarterback to get it back. You know, I don't know if he's going to be able to be the separator that they thought. And, you know, this is a guy who we've seen a lot of. We saw him at Clemson. We saw him at Oregon State. Now we're seeing him at Florida State. He's like a journeyman college football quarterback, which is like a new thing in our lives. And I'm not like confident that he's going to all of a sudden turn into a different player. And if their defense is going to get smacked around, then they really don't have a prayer.
Wait, Maggie, all those teams just mentioned, first of all, Florida State was in the top 10, just like they're in the top 10. None of those teams have won a single game yet. They haven't even played. Sure. And second of all, they all got their quarterbacks back. I think every team you just mentioned.
Not Oregon.
Oh, not Oregon. Okay. Right. So yeah, but Oregon hasn't won anything
and not
yet.
Michigan.
Okay. You're right. So, but Alabama has Milroe back and Georgia has Carson back. They're not the same. I mean, Florida State lost their second all-time leading passer. They lost two basically really good receivers, one a first-round talent. They lost the second-best running back in the draft. They lost Jared Verse and Braden Fisk up front. Like, this is not last year's team, and anybody who thinks it is, I don't even understand the connection.
I know, but Perloff, that's not last year's team, but they also weren't playing Georgia. They were playing Georgia Tech. And so that's the thing. Again, it was a different location and it was weird. And I'm surprised you haven't brought up the fact that it was raining because you love to bring that up and how it affects the game. And all of a sudden it was like sheets and sheets of rain. And maybe there was a footing issue or whatever. They even went more away from a downfield passing game. But, you know, that's the thing. It's like, yeah, maybe they lost a lot of talent, but they still had a defensive line that was highly touted.
Yeah.
They still have their head coach. They have a quarterback who's got name brand, right? Someone who they went after. And they were playing Georgia Tech. They weren't playing Georgia. And so I don't have a lot of sympathy for what happened to FSU in Ireland.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, Florida State was the number 10 team in the country, and they lost to Georgia Tech on Ireland. Right. Like, no duh, they had a bad game.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, why are you saying the program is down because of this? Like, this kind of makes sense when you actually think about it. And, EJ, I agree with you. Like, there's definitely a hangover. No duh.
Yeah.
There's a hangover from what happened last year. And honestly, like, what do you expect? They lost, like, five of the best players they've had in 15 years are gone. And the new guys, well, that's what happens when you have a transfer portal team. They didn't seem to know what was what. The offensive lines, would they call hike, and they'd all go in different directions. The defensive line didn't even take the trip. I don't know what was going on.
They could tackle. Oh, they couldn't tackle.
Yeah, I mean, how do they get out? How do they get beat up by Georgia Tech? Now, listen, I'm down on them too, but I don't think this is a referendum on what happened last year or what the program is in general. I don't quite understand what Mike Norvell was doing. I mean, it was a murder scene on social media on Saturday. Everyone's like, why are you handing the ball off so much? So, obviously, he doesn't trust DJU, but at least give him a chance. I'd rather lose with DJU throwing the ball into harm's way than to not even give him a chance.
Well, I mean, he was missing some passes. So, but you're right. The funny part is in that fourth quarter, when all of a sudden they put the game in his hands and asked him to go convert two gutsy fourth downs, a fourth and seven and a fourth and eight, and he looked great and was throwing in the middle of the field and all that stuff. You're right, Perloff, make the whole game plan out of that. It's like, make the whole airplane out of the black box. Make the whole thing, you know, make the whole offense about being, aggressive with DJU, because Georgia Tech's defensive line was able to tee off that guy Height, whoever that was, coming off the edge. He looked like Ray Lewis out there. It was crazy. And so I don't know. I don't know if, you know, Mike Norvell played that game not to lose, and they lost. And then the other part of it was this sort of anatomy of an upset, which is Georgia Tech did what a team should do in that spot. They shortened the game. They went on long, sustained drives. That second quarter, they went on a drive that lasted 8 minutes. I mean, they salted away basically the whole quarter. And they salted away the game at the end. And the fact that FSU never got the ball back, and they ran the ball, they were able to get down to the last seconds, and the kid kicks the game-winning field goal. Honestly, the best player for Florida State on Sunday was their kicker and their punter. And it's not even close. Those special teams guys were saving their butts. They asked the kicker to make a 50-yarder and a 44-yarder in the rain or whatever. I think it was a 50-yarder. It was That was nuts. And so, I don't know. I'm curious what the fans think, because I'm sure a lot of people were tuned into that game because it's week zero, first college football, first taste of the real thing at 855-212-4227. And do you feel like FSU is trending up or trending down as a program? Sorry.
Wait, Matt, I want to make clear. So you're saying it's a good formula to run for over 5 yards a carry, and that's going to work against Notre Dame and Georgia later in Georgia Tech? Yeah, you know what? If you can destroy Georgia's offensive and defensive lines, that's a great strategy for a comeback. Honestly, I think this was just a new Florida State team. Also, too, I do think Ireland results are wonky. I was on a little vacation at the end of last week and forgot to jump on and bet on Saturday morning. But our buddies at the Pick 3 podcast guaranteed an upset. These are like weird things happen in Ireland. So I am holding out a little hope despite all this. I think the question is, what was the worst part for Florida State too? Mike Norvell's play calling was disastrous. Nobody thought DJU was going to throw for 450 yards. He hasn't done that since that one game again when he was at Clemson against Notre Dame. But still, like, let him throw the ball. So for me, that's the biggest issue. I'm not ready to make a referendum on the whole program. So my answer is Florida State is where they are. This does not mean that they're falling apart. I hope. We should put that up that poll. Now, Maggie, can you sort of give us a little vibe? Are you in a utility closet here? What is going on around you?
Yeah, you want vibe checks today?
Yeah,
all cards on the table. EJ, not the only one playing hurt today. EJ's been doing the show from home and doing more than admirable job, and then filled in for us on Friday and was amazing. So EJ, thank you for that. It was an awesome show. I got to listen to almost the whole second hour. It was great. And you know, you're a star, but I'm also playing hurt today. Unfortunately got the COVID over the weekend. And now, because my office shares a wall with my 5-year-old's bedroom, and it's 6 o'clock in the morning Eastern time, and we start talking loud around 5:30, I have been reduced to the closet where if you're watching on, are we up like on YouTube and Twitch and everything? If you're watching,
we are.
I'm amidst my clothes, my husband's clothes. I try to put some stuff in the background. That was silly. I'm literally in our, I'm in the closet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got some weird stuff in
here, too. You told me you were in the closet. I thought, I don't know, that maybe you would do some housekeeping in the closet. It kind of looks like you're in a closet. What's the deal? Like, there's a couple posters. One of them is crooked in the back. A random little kid's Bills jersey. And
kid's Ed Oliver.
Yeah, yeah.
Jersey.
Oh, okay.
I just needed a little set decoration over here.
You bought your kid an Ed Oliver jersey?
No, a friend of mine did. Okay. And then he got arrested for like a suspicion of DUI maybe 3 days later. I think he got cleared of that.
What's a good kid's present? I want to get a 295-pound defensive tackle jersey. Why don't you get him a Josh Allen like everybody else? Or maybe, this is wild. Why don't we, throughout the show, can you give us one little gem almost every segment from in this closet? Because I tell there's some old stuff in there.
I've got some. Well, I mean, what was I doing back here? Why do I just have this stuff? I haven't been this far back in a while. And so, I can pull out some silly things for you guys from inside my closet. Some of my husband's stuff, too, which might be weird.
All right. Well, you look great anyway. You actually look better than anyone else on this show. And that's actually not as big a compliment as it might sound if you're watching on Infinity Sports Radio Network YouTube.
Shout out Kaplan. Yeah. Andrew Kaplan, make it a work today. Actually, Pearl, I think you look great. Your lighting is good. This looks dynamite.
I don't know. It's dynamite because you can barely see me in this pitch black studio. I walked in this morning, Maggie. You're not here. I'm like, did the lighting completely change again? And Amy Lawrence was here before. She's like, yep. So there's been some changes here. It's always an interesting place to work. The studio is in flux, shall we say. There's a new surprise every Monday morning. But at least the posters are straight behind me, so I feel a little better.
I know. Well, you look great. I am in a COVID fog, but you look awesome. I'm not the most reliable person today. I've got my signed Jim Kelly poster back here. I've got Sports Illustrated cover, and I have our helmet from Army Navy when one of the years we got to go to the Army Navy game. So I've got that, plus my kids' Ed Oliver jersey.
Wait, I don't have an Army Navy helmet. Did you steal that from the set? How did you get that Army Navy helmet? And why'd you bring it home and not put it in our studio?
Steel was gifted.
Who gifted it to you?
You know.
Was it the head of the Army or the head of the Navy? I don't remember this at all.
Yeah, it was the Joint Chiefs. he said, Maggie, take it. You know.
What else do you have there, by the way? Like, you might want to hide some stuff in the break because apparently there's some killer props that are stuck in a closet somewhere in New Jersey.
Yeah, I offered for the set, and I was told that it's too reflective, so I took it back home.
All right, Maggie, coming up, there is a coaching decision that bothers me even more than Mike Norvell and his terrible Saturday. There's an NFL coach who's completely out of his mind. I do not understand what he is saying at all. That's next, right here, Maggie and Perloff Show. Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Perloff here in the New York studio. Maggie at the home studio. Started off the show talking about the state of Florida State. Not good, but to me, this has nothing to do with last year. You can't look at the loss to Saturday and say that they shouldn't have been in the Final Four. That's ridiculous. I think EJ definitely said that. I think Maggie's leaning that way, thinking Florida State as a whole might be in trouble. You can weigh in 855-212-4227. We got a lot to get to today, Maggie. Tons to get to. I mentioned it. There is an NFL coach who's driving me crazy. Can you guess who it is?
Just one?
Just one. There's one guy who I was high on, who I all of a sudden have a lot of doubts about. And I'm generally kind of pro coach. I don't love to fire coaches. I'm a little more conservative in that sense. But there's a guy who I already am worried about.
AFC or NFC?
AFC. So it's not Nick Sirianni of the Eagles.
Yeah, I know you would show him the door in 5 seconds. How about Mike Tomlin?
No, Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin's gone 500 or better for 27 straight years. What worry is there about him?
I don't know.
It's a new coach. A new coach.
Okay.
A new coach, a former defensive player.
Gerard Mayo.
So Gerard Mayo, after Drake May puts on a show last night in preseason against the Commanders, all of a sudden comes out after the game It says Drake May is our second best quarterback behind Jacoby Brissett, who hurt his shoulder earlier in the game. How on earth is Drake May the second best quarterback? He's already better than Jacoby Brissett. I think that was obvious. Drake May looks awesome. He threw a 40-yard bomb against his body the other last night that looked like Patrick Mahomes. I know he's going to be raw, but this is a situation where you're telling me the better player is going to sit on the bench because he's a rookie. Maggie, don't you always give the benefit of the doubt to the rookie?
Well, that also, if you're not going to run your first team guys out there, why are you putting Jacoby Brissett back there? Because he ends up hurting his shoulder last night because not everyone on the offensive line was playing. And then he had to, he looked at the trainers afterwards. If this dude is really your starting quarterback, putting behind an offensive line, I don't think where everyone was playing, I feel like is always a silly decision to me for coaches. But you're right. I saw a couple throws from Drake May last night and I was like, oh boy. Because you guys know I'm a huge Bills fan. I'm like, I got to be worried about this guy now.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Great. Yeah. You know, Brady leaves and you get a little reprieve there with Mac Jones. And now all of a sudden here comes the gunslinger. And, you know, here's the thing about rookies. I always think you don't have a lot of pressure. If you can protect yourself, which it looks like Drake May can, I don't see a reason not to run him out. EJ, I know you vehemently disagree on this one, but the thing is this was the thing about May. This is the total rookie experience. That awesome 40-yard bomb you're talking about. What happened on the next snap? Botch snap.
Well,
right.
Yeah, but that's because the backup center, wasn't David Andrews, has no idea what he's doing.
Exactly, right? So it's like you're just going to expect a little bit more of the ups and downs. I agree with you, Pro. I saw way more ups with Drake May. It looks like you can see the natural progression here. And I think the only way he gets better is by playing. I don't know how watching Jacoby Brissett does help. Maybe it does, but he's not. I know he was touted as this raw talent, but
yeah.
Is he any more raw than Josh Allen coming out of Wyoming? Is he any more raw than Anthony Richardson? I know one got hurt and one didn't in their rookie year, but that's somebody who I think you can put his raw ability out on a football field, and it's only going to help him, in my opinion.
What do you mean raw? He's barely thrown a single incompletion all preseason. He's been amazing. I don't see any rawness. It looks like all these rookies are amazing. Bo Nix is amazing. Drake May is amazing. Jaden Daniels, who was on the sideline last night, is probably amazing. Caleb's a superstar. I don't see raw. I see all these guys ready to go.
That was coming into the draft, right?
Yeah, he was
the project.
Well, that he was going to need, I don't know if project's the right term, that just he was going to need some time to develop. He did play a lot in college, so I think he's closer to ready to go. Why does EJ disagree? EJ, why do you disagree? You think that they should go Jacoby Brissett?
Because I've seen this movie before.
Yeah.
And as a Jet fan, I literally saw it twice. If you have a quarterback who you think has potential, but maybe raw, you do not put him out there with this sad group of Patriots receivers. The O-line is not as bad, but it's not a good offense. He does not have the support needed to really, help his development. That's my whole thing. It has nothing to do with Drake May as a prospect. I think that he's the third best quarterback in this draft, so I didn't have a problem with them taking him where they took him. But I watched this guy a ton in college. I watched him be late on throws. I watched his accuracy come and go. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of talent, but he's not consistent. And what you saw last night was the good Drake May, but trust me, in regular season action with teams actually game planning for him, you will also see some bad Drake May, and that's going to be compounded by the fact that he has no one out there to help him. That's why you throw Jacoby Brissett out there, let him take all the arrows, and then when the season's over or when the season gets out of hand, then you throw Drake May in.
Yeah, but I mean, the question is, what helps Drake May more, to play and learn on the job or to sit there behind Jacoby Brissett? I think that's one of the fundamental questions you always have with young quarterbacks.
Also,
yeah,
guys, it's too late.
Yeah,
EJ Perloff has already drafted Polk, the wide receiver, in the first round of his fantasy.
No, no.
It's over. It's a wrap.
Well, a little background. Kendrick Bourne, who's a Patriots receiver, became best friends with Sully during our friend of the show, Sully, during Super Bowl week. So I'm kind of all in on those guys. The O-line is pretty good. But, Maggie, what would your general strategy be with a young quarterback? Do you let him learn on the field, or do you go with a veteran to start?
You know, generally, I say let him wait. You know, I'm generally a proponent of letting them wait. But Drake May's kind of won me over because I see it's obvious you can see the ability there, right? It's not like he's getting out there and he's totally floundering. He does look a lot better than Jacoby Brissett. And to me, this is going to be as low pressure and low stakes as Drake May is probably ever going to have in his NFL career if he works out. Because going into year two, it's going to be, can you take the leap from year two and everything? So if this can be as low stakes in the NFL as you can possibly get. So that's why I would start him. Do we have Andrew Bogish back from vacation?
No. By the way, one more thing to finish up the Drake May. Jason Garrett said that they should start Jacoby Brissett. So it's decided. Drake May, if Drake May is not out there week one, then America's lost its mind. Because once Garrett gave the seal of approval to Brissett at halftime last night, over. It's Drake May's job. Yes, Andrew Bogus is here, fresh from the shores of South Jersey. That's sort of my territory. I'm surprised you don't have a Jersey accent. Let's hear it.
I'm surprised we're not having some kind of romantic breakfast in this candlelit dungeon you do this radio show out of. What has happened in this place?
You should have seen last week.
I did see last week, and I was afraid for you two guys, like you were being held hostage here.
You weren't aware that the entire studio got robbed of everything, or like we were ripped off?
I actually saw the guys come in on Friday, my last day, where are the lights? I didn't know it was gonna be this bad.
Bogish, stop them. You gotta throw your body in front of them.
Were they wearing a ski mask, Bogus? What are you doing?
No, they just had muscles, which immediately put them ahead of me, so there was no stopping them.
Foxhole.
Yeah, actually, it looks way better this week than last week. It's still a little dark. Our guy, Andrew Kaplan, just came in and turned on the lights, and it's made no effect. Maggie, you have an excuse. You're actually in a closet. We look like we're in a closet.
Somehow Maggie's better lit than we are.
All right, Bogus, save us with some headlines.
It's all sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. Let's go right back to those Patriots and those two quarterbacks. Jacoby Brissett's sore right shoulder this morning, courtesy of a sack, I believe, during which two of his offensive linemen ran into each other, allowing said hit. But that was not the only issue for the O-line last night. Penalties came fast and furious, angering even Patriots radio.
Mays back to pass, flush to his left. He's going to run to the near side, then he's going to toss the ball off. Balance to Osborne, makes the catch at the 11. Curls to the inside 5, runs to the end zone.
Illegal formation. Once again, left tackle number 77 lined up in the backfield.
Wow.
Where's the O-line coach? There is no score. We'll replay second down.
Peter should be having a conniption on the sideline. Gerard Mayo should be having a conniption on the sideline. This is inexcusable. You take a touchdown off the field for your fourth tackle in the backfield call. Inexcusable at the professional level. You know it. I know it.
It's the preseason. Scott Zolak, I believe Bob Stoch at the beginning of McCourty twin might have been in there as well on Patriots radio. That was one of 8 first half penalties from the New England O-line.
I think it is a concern.
I would say so, Gerard Mayo.
The biggest concern for me, it's not the X's and O's of what to do. It's just the lack of discipline that they showed today. And that's on all of us. That's on me. It starts with me.
Most importantly at the moment, Brissett apparently is okay. Mayo said he could have played through the pain if it was a regular season game. Drake May finished the first half, 13-20, 126 yards, a touchdown throw that did count. The rookie, though, remains the backup unless Brissett's new injury ends up being worse than they think. As if it matters, the Commanders won the game 20-10. So we did have some real college football over the weekend, not just FSU, Georgia Tech, and Ireland. There was also Nevada SMU on CBS Sports Network, and that crew did a little season preview during the game, which led to this gem from former running back turned analyst Robert Turbin.
Rich, I don't know if I've ever been more fired up for a college football season. All the changes, all the newness in college football, it feels like there's no parity. Anybody can win it this season.
So that's not what parity means, at least in that spelling of the word.
That being said, I think he's exactly right.
I'll let you expand on that.
Well, I mean, anybody can win it. There's no parity.
And there's no parity.
Can both things exist?
Absolutely. Actually, they cannot.
Is this worse than when that coach asked what a metaphor means when Eberflus or somebody said, what's
a
metaphor?
No, that was Dennis Allen.
Dennis Allen.
He knew his limitations.
Yeah, sometimes the English language, you guys don't understand. It's challenging for some of us.
Yeah, I mean, I was also, last time I was here, messing up feet and meters and yards, deciding whether we could do the 40-yard dash and the sprint. So I shouldn't talk that much. But I'm going to just defer to this just being an accident from Robert Turbin.
I think so. I think that he just misspoke here because it's not like he's Chris Collinsworth, who's been doing 10,000 hours of television. You know, like, I think we can give him a little pass. But I was thinking about this. I'm like, parody isn't a word that's most commonly misused. Like, a lot more words that are misused, right?
Maggie, what's the other option? Of course he misspoke. What do you mean? Like,
really thought parody meant that there's only a few.
Right. That he's intelligent.
It was classic. He was on TV and his mouth started moving faster than his brain. I don't think anyone thinks that he doesn't know what parody means. I think it's just it's funny. It reminds me when Trent Dilfer said, what was his famous line? You can't win games by losing them or something.
Well, that's just philosophy. That's like Yogi Berra. You know?
Yeah, well, this was such a Yogi Berra line. Yeah, there's the best thing about college football is that there's no parody anyone can win. And that would come right out of the mouth of Yogi Berra. I love it. I've said, Maggie, you know, I've said a million things like that.
Yeah, we all have, but it's just funny. When I think about misused words or whatever, it's like parody doesn't really come to mind. I think the big one is regardless and irregardless. Where do we stand on this?
I mean, there is no stand. Irregardless is not a word.
Yeah, I mean, I don't say it. I think it's in the dictionary, though, isn't it?
But don't they mean the same thing?
But that's like regardless is all you need to say.
Right.
Right, right. But that's a little different. Like you can't, irregardless and regardless aren't exact opposites of each other. Or are they? I don't even know what irregardless means.
It's like a double negative, really. So it kind of doesn't really make any sense. But it's become like something very commonly used. And I think people use it to sound smart.
Irregardless of that, I think that's a different situation. Or regardless. Wait, we have to spend some time, actually. Do they mean the exact same thing, or are they opposites?
It is in the dictionary as its own word, but the definition is regardless.
Yeah, it's the same word.
You don't need the IR on, you just need regardless.
It's like fancy regardless.
Yeah.
So if
but
it's
not
in the dictionary,
really.
Then you can use it. Yeah, there are a few words like that. I had an editor, our friend Paul Fichtenbaum. First thing, you know what his number one rule of editing, our former Sports Illustrated boss said? Do not say towards. It's toward.
Oh, toward. Yeah,
really?
He said in proper English, you don't use the S at the end of towards. But I think it's in the dictionary as well.
Can I tell you guys some of the new words that were added to the dictionary
always.
In 2024 that I'm seeing here? They added IYKYK, the shortened if you know, you know, the shorthand for social media.
Okay.
Apparently, that's in the Cambridge Dictionary.
That's an acronym.
Yeah, right.
It's not a word.
Also, boop and chef's kiss have been added to the Cambridge Dictionary.
That's two words.
Yeah. This is Cambridge, man. Who knows what they're doing? And the dictionary.com added 1,700 new words, according to this Google search, including girl dinner. Mid, bussin, the ick, cheat code, range anxiety.
I don't know what that one is.
Range anxiety is the fear that an electric vehicle's battery will run out of power.
Oh, I thought it was.
I'll have that one.
I thought it was when you get up to the range before a round of golf and you're like, oh man, everyone's judging my terrible swing right now. That's
the alternate
anxiety.
Definition.
People in the chat saying effect versus effect.
Oh. Yes.
The E versus A, that's a common one.
Yeah, and there and there.
There, there, it, it.
Mm-hmm.
But those are just for writing, for talking.
Yeah. Right.
Well, none of this has, I think, because parody, he just completely used the opposite. That was
and
the
beauty.
And
he sold it so well.
That was the beauty. And that was the chef's kiss of this whole thing. As he said it as if he was saying something brilliant. And when it turned out to be super mid. I don't know.
Yeah.
Boop.
He's going to need a cheat code.
By the way, actually,
get back on track.
I got to be honest. I didn't know what boop means, and I'm a little nervous that I'm saying a dirty word.
You're good.
What does it mean?
Boop is when, like, you boop something. So it's like tapping something.
Yeah. It's a loving. Oh. Is it loving? Is it endearing? Like, do I boop you because I'm happy with you?
That's a new word.
You ever have a dog? Like, you just boop the nose?
Yeah.
I don't feel like that's a new word. Is that new?
You just say you didn't know it.
Dictionary.
Well, I mean, I know like my grandma, like, oh, I booped the baby on the nose. Like, I know that word. I thought there was something new that they were adding. Like, that there was some, I was afraid it was something, you know.
You're such a boomer.
I thought there was something, Ryan, like something dirty about it.
No, not at all.
Like it was an acronym for.
I think that's bop. If you bop some. Well, is that an old, is there slang for bopping?
Yes.
That's from 1957.
All those Motown songs are like, shabop, shabop. It's like, wow, that is some dirty stuff. It's dirtier than Lil' Kim.
Yeah, I just think that Boop and Range Anxiety are quite different. I like Boop's been around since my grandmother was here. And anyway,
it's Betty Boop.
Yeah, Betty Boop.
That's true.
All right, anything else, Bogus?
The Houston Astros won in Baltimore on Sunday Night Baseball 6-3 to split a four-game series. The game was tied at 3 in the top of the seventh, and then Alex Bregman and Yainer Diaz hit back-to-back solo homers for Houston. And Lake Mary, Florida rallied to claim the Little League Baseball World Series 2-1 over Chinese Taipei. They tied the game in their last at-bat, bottom six, then won it in the eighth when a sacrifice bunt led to a throwing error, allowing the championship run to score. Now I'm done.
You know, that last play of the Little League World Series is something that would have happened to our kickball team had we made it to the championship game. It just reminded me a lot of us.
Oh, wow. I thought you were going to make a Jake team joke there, that they could have done that very easily, and I would agree.
No, when I saw Jake and he's a child, I think we tried to put a moratorium on the jokes there. I think that would have been us. And I know, EJ, you bit the bullet on the kickball, but we would have done something like that. A lot of hustle, two people going after the ball, leads to an error and a loss. R.I.P. Infinity Sportsnet.
Someone has in the chat, parody versus parody.
Yeah.
I've never seen that confused. Is that something that people do as well?
I don't know always which is the correct spelling of the word I want to use, but I think I use the words correctly, but if I have to write them, I have to remember which one is which.
Got it. All right, well, more of this fascinating conversation about the English language and
retinaculum.
And we'll dive into a little more NFL preseason next. Maggie Perloff Show. All right, back on Maggie and Perloff. You know what that music means. Cowboy Quickie. Maggie, I don't even know how to describe what happened over the weekend. Our guy, Trey Lance, it actually sounds worse than it is, but he threw 5 interceptions. you know a little bit about this because you had Nathan Peterman on the Bills throw 5 in the game.
The first half.
This was not, I'm going to say something against the grain here. These weren't the worst 5 interceptions I've ever seen in my life. Tony Jefferson, who I had no idea was still in the NFL. I think he already retired and came back. Looked like a young Ed Reed flying out of nowhere to take all these picks. So there was a couple where Trey Lance threw it right at the defender's numbers, but a few of them were nice plays by the defense. It's funny, Maggie, Jerry Jones, let's hear Jerry Jones after the game. I don't think he's given up on Trey Lance. I don't think he can quit Trey Lance despite 5 picks.
Well, I saw good, and I saw some things that you'd like to have back. I hate it. Those 5 intercepts are going to be a stat on a game that I couldn't have asked for more reps and better situation to watch him play, and he needed that because the one thing he's missing more than anything is the lack of reps, much less NFL reps.
So, yeah, what do you think of that? He saw good and bad. There was an amazing long touchdown run by Lance, but I thought there was a little more bad, Maggie.
Yeah, I think five interceptions, including the one in the end zone, especially when the Chargers were not playing any of their starters.
No, sure weren't.
They sure weren't. And by that, some of those later in the game, those weren't even the backups. Those were the backups to the backups. I think, did Trey Lance throw the ball 47 times or something in this game? I mean, it was a lot of reps and it was a lot of interceptions. Listen, the touchdown run, though, like that's the tantalizing part of Trey Lance. Like, his speed seems like he's gotten even faster or something.
He's always been pretty fast. He was, even in San Francisco, he showed a little bit of that, but that's not really enough.
But maybe that's also going against the number one defenses usually, because so maybe you don't, you know, you can't maybe burn everybody when you're going against the first. I think this is rough. If Lance was a rookie or even second year, I think we'd say, okay, well, you know, just dust it off. They're trying stuff out there. All the 2-point conversions were bad too. I mean, like, it's a bunch of bad stuff. Yeah,
dust
and Tony Jefferson, who was retired and I guess like getting into scouting. Well, he had Trey Lance scouted pretty well last night. That dude looked unreal and he's like making the team. Anyway,
yeah, no. I understand what you're saying about Trey Lance. The thing about Trey Lance, it's a little tantalizing. Like, the guy looks awesome. Like, just the way he moves and carries himself and his throwing delivery, it all looks like a kind of a big-time quarterback. And I think that's exactly what Kyle Shanahan saw. I think Kyle Shanahan saw the physical tools and said, wow, this is maybe he was talked into it by John Lynch. But regardless, you could see if he didn't throw all those interceptions, you'd be like, wow, that looks like a really good quarterback. But again, I mean, I don't fancy myself as a total quarterback expert, but I think throwing five picks in a game is a bad sign.
You think? The other part, too, is it just you still don't have you're no closer to the question who would replace Dak Prescott if they moved on from him. And that's just walking into the total unknown. Now, I don't think watching Trey Lance means all of a sudden you necessarily have to say, all right, Dak, you name the number and we'll sign whatever. I think they might end up getting to that anyway. I don't know if Lance has anything to do with that, but we talked to Matt Mosley of the Doomsday Podcast. He's been covering the Cowboys for 20 years. I asked who's the successor, who's after Dak, and he said he thought they want Trey Lance. And unless he's getting developed behind the scenes, then I don't know, because Mike McCarthy's got a lot on his plate this year. He's in the last year of his deal. They have got to make a playoff run for him to keep his job. Do you think he really has time to be developing Trey Lance behind the scenes with the limited practice time that NFL players have anyway? Just doesn't seem like the right formula.
Do you think anyone has ever really thought Trey Lance was going to be the heir apparent? I mean, they took a flyer on him. Now, honestly, show me one person who's ever said, yeah, I think they're in good shape with Trey Lance. The guy's a third-string quarterback.
No, I don't know good shape, but this was like, you know.
This was a flyer plan, a late round, a second half of the draft pick. I don't think that was ever the real plan. Maybe Jerry thought, oh, he'll catch fire.
No, Cowboys heat check. They got Romo undrafted. They got Dak in a later round. They probably thought, we're going to have the reclamation project now with that people who left Trey Lance for dead. And we're the Cowboys, and we see something here with these quarterbacks. Can I also, sorry, that's your Cowboy quickie. I got another point I want to make. The run game is going to be a problem, right?
I mean, is so awesome with Deuce Vaughn. What do you mean, problem, like, let's go. Let's run this little guy in between those awesome offensive line. Maybe, but their offensive line could be really good.
I know, but their offensive line I thought was good last year, and Tony Pollard had a terrible season. So
their line was hurt a lot last year.
Yeah, maybe there were guys shuffling in and out a bit. You're right about that. I mean, I don't know. The Cowboys, to me, it's like death taxes. Their offensive line's going to be good. And I'm a big Deuce Vaughn fan also, because he stopped by our set and he was great, but he's a little bowling ball in there. I just like, who's their home run hitter if they have one? And are you going to respect the run game at all? I was a little concerned. Everyone should be concerned about that. Ezekiel Elliott's their starting running back. It's a joke.
Listen, it would have been cool in 2017. I can't stand.
We're all cooler in 2017.
Maggie, you say that, but on the same hand, you don't argue when people say running backs are irrelevant in today's NFL and you shouldn't draft them. So maybe running back isn't as important as you think it is.
Well, I want one. I don't need to draft them with the second overall pick like Saquon Barkley, but I do want somebody who's good and who I can rely on. And maybe that person will step up and it's just a product of the offensive line. But you know Dak's not running. He doesn't want to do that, especially if they don't sign him to a deal.
Well, they have a few numbers there. I understand what you're saying. And I think, honestly, by the overwhelming concern with the Cowboys is stopping the run. We saw what happened last year against Green Bay. If they can do that, then anything is possible. All right, we do have actually a real, real big-time quarterback controversy / camp battle that Maggie and I are going to dive into next. I think this is one of the biggest storylines coming in the NFL season. We'll break that down next. Maggie in Jersey, me here in New York. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show.